All right. Thank you, Sister Drake. Appreciate the good message and song. Appreciate you being here tonight. Happy New Year to everybody. And some of you I haven't seen since last year, I guess. And it's good to see you tonight. Take your Bibles. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And one other spot, 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. Let's look at two places close together there. Kind of neat to do observe the Lord's table here on a New Year's Day. It's interesting. Opportunity doesn't always fall like that. It's interesting to do it during Christmas time. I think a Christmas communion is a good thing to get your mind centered on the important things during the Christmas season of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think New Year's communion is great also, and I think we'll even try and tie that in with some of the scripture we'll look at tonight. We'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I think we'll start in chapter 11, then go back to chapter 5. You ever had people tell you, give you good advice for the new year? You know, being New Year's Day, you hear about the one dad was telling his son, you know, that his dad had always told him it was good advice, a good habit, to sprinkle a little gunpowder on your eggs every morning. Some people use salt, but he said gunpowder. And you can judge for yourself whether that works. The whole story says that after this fellow did that, had eggs most mornings for breakfast, and ate eggs most mornings for breakfast, and sprinkled a little gunpowder on it. Said he lived to be 92 years old, 8 kids, 24 grandkids, and he left behind all that family and a 15-foot hole in the crematorium. Went out with a boom, right? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's start in verse 2, then we'll jump down to verse 23. Verse number 2, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Paul says here in verse number 2, well, we'll read verse number 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He's asking these believers at Corinth to get in order, and that's why he mentions in verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren. And there were that's you could almost underline that, and you can't hardly find any other statement like that in the rest of 1 Corinthians, really. That's about the only time he'll say that. And maybe he's saying it like, if you will follow these instructions, and if you'll get right, as this doctrine has been brought to you through this letter, then I'll praise you in that. But there's not much praise in the lengthy epistles of Corinthians, to the Corinthians. But he says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things. And that means when he was there preaching, not only did he preach the gospel to them, but after they got saved, he preached to them the doctrine they needed to walk and live by, and were instructed from the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul. And the last part of the verse 2 says, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. Now, interesting, we talked about the word ordinances before. I thought I'd bring to light tonight that if you look at the word ordinances, you can see that it's kin to the word order. And we know what it's like to have order, or order being established. And if you'd view the word ordinances like you view the word order, if something's not working properly, if something's not functioning properly, we could say it's out of order. You could pretty much take the Church of Corinth and you could have hung up an out of order sign on it. And if you ever went to try to use something before, maybe off the top of my head, a vending machine for Coca-Cola, and or something like that, and you go and it's out of order. Well, that means you're not gonna be able to get what you desire from it. It's not going to help you. It's not gonna help anybody else. And that's how it is for a church to be out of order also. You might as well hang an out of order sign on it because it's not functioning properly. Unfortunately, there's lots of churches that are out of order today. And that's not because I have that opinion that I would say they're out of order. We just have to take a church and view it and weigh it and compare it to the scripture. And if a church is not functioning like the scripture tells it to, then the church is out of order. This is the not only the repair manual, it's the instruction manual, yes, but it's the operating manual. That's what the Word of God is. And so that's what Paul's telling these believers here at Corinth, that the order that was established when the church was established, these believers got saved. He was there in Corinth for a lengthy period of time, and maybe made multiple trips there, of course, and other preachers did also, and we could talk about them a little bit, but yet order had been established there, and the church at Corinth was not functioning in the right order. They were out of order, and that's why, in fact, if you continue to read, if we went past chapter 11 into chapter 12, you'd see they're out of order when it comes to the sign gifts. And chapter 13, they lack the most important thing for a believer to have, and that's charity, the real love that God gives. And you could just keep reading that in verse 14 with all the tongue talking and all that kind of stuff, and so on and so forth. Chapter 15, there's some that are wrong about the resurrection and saying things that are untrue about the resurrection. And so you read all that in the book of 1 Corinthians, and that's just going forward. If we went backwards, we could see lots of things that are out of order also. But it's interesting to see the word order, and part of the order that we could say is in the immediate context was observing the Lord's Supper the proper way. So here we are in a New Year's communion, and we get to, here at our local assembly, we get to observe the Lord's Supper, and that's so very important. So let's go back down to verse number 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord," and I've mentioned that every time, and I'll reiterate now that Paul received these instructions that he's giving from the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, and there's several verses that go along with that, and a couple of them off the top of my head would be Galatians 1:11 and 12, 2 Corinthians 12:7, Titus 1:3. I said off the top of my head, but I meant in my margins what I meant to say. Verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." So God gave it to me, Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, so then I gave it to you, that, and he starts talking here, the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Remember, the Apostle Paul didn't necessarily have the Gospel of Matthew to go look at this time, or any of the other Gospels. Remember that? Like, we're going to go to Matthew here in just a little bit, but the Apostle Paul wouldn't have been able to do that when he was in Corinth preaching Christ and then establishing the order there. You follow what I'm saying, right? Or did y'all have leftover turkey and leftover tryptophan? That means it makes you sleepy. But anyway, verse 23, if we'd finished it, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Tonight, we're partaking of the Lord's table. We'll partake of the bread in remembrance of Christ's broken body on the cross of Calvary. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." Remember, you can't have a testament without the death of the testator. Christ Jesus shed his divine, sinless blood upon the cross of Calvary, thus being able to establish a new covenant that the New Testament testifies of. Verse 25, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And verse number 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." We'll stop right there. That is the quoting of what was established on that, what we'd say was a Passover, but then something new that Christ did and established on that Passover night for the Jews, and that was the Lord's Supper, something that not Jewish today, but something that the church that we observe today, order that was set in place in Corinth, order that was set in place in Galatia, order that was set in place in Ephesus, and all the other ones you'd want to look at, Philippi and Thessalonica and so on and so forth, that order that's set forth and still established today through God's word for us as we observe it here on this New Year's night. Now, I wanted to go back a couple pages to chapter 5, if you would please, and let's look at a couple verses, and we'll continue with the rest of our service tonight in the administration of the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look at verse number 7. Now, I can't deal with all the context, and you might remember that there's someone being dealt with, being mentioned specifically by Paul, that's in the Corinthian fellowship that's in sin, that has not been dealt with, even though the sin is known. But look at verse number 7. I just want to look at these verses and not deal with the whole context of everything that's being mentioned here. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Here in this context, of course, the old leaven, and leaven will represent sin and wrong doctrine, false doctrine, if you look at it and look at and define it in Scripture. But here, get rid of the sin that's known among you. Now, there's always going to be sin among us, but when there's sin that's known among us and we're not doing anything about it, then that's where we are at fault, or the church at Corinth here in this context was at fault. As long as we're at home in this fleshly body, in this earthly realm, sin is going to be it's going to be there, okay? There's sins that you and I have that we're not even aware of. That's really not the problem. The problem we have is the sins that we are aware of and that we turn our head to, or we ignore and we don't deal with when God puts his finger on it, when the Spirit puts his light of his word on it. That's the problem. Now, you're saying purge out the old leaven. Deal with what you do, what's right. There's been order set up amongst you, so you have to follow that order. Deal with it the right way. And then verse number 8, therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I really believe the Lord's Supper is in view here in chapter 5. If we keep reading, verse number 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. One of the ways you company with fornicators would be down in verse number 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one, no, not to eat. I really believe that that's dealing with the official coming together, assembling of yourself together, and the administration of the communion, the Lord's Supper. That's where you get the term excommunicated, someone that's being cut off from communion, okay? I know it's misused by religion, but that's where the idea in Scripture, that's where you would find it. So we see here, I think that's interesting, a New Year's communion here that we look at here in 1 Corinthians 5 would be to, what are the things that we might would bring with us from last year that aren't good? What leaven is among us? Now, as I continue on, don't you worry about my leaven, I won't worry about your leaven. Let's worry about our own leaven right now, okay? When we clean out all those crumbs of leaven, can you say that? Does leaven have crumbs? Anyway, if you clean out all those crumbs of leaven in your own cabinet, get that taken care of in spick and span before you ever worry about anybody else's cabinet. In fact, maybe let God deal with that person's cabinet altogether, and you pray for their cabinet, okay, as you continue to inspect yours and examine your cabinet. And I think that would be a good thought for us here as we observe the communion tonight. What a blessing it is to think about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Yes, the greatest gift that has ever been given. We talked about it, and we thought about it, I hope maybe even extra here over the last few days and weeks. Yet, that great sacrifice of his physical body being put to death in the flesh, and before he was put to death, it was broken for us. He suffered. He took the suffering of sin in his own physical body. And that suffering really was a sign for me and you, was it not? Yet Christ took it in our stead. Christ took that in our place. He had no suffering coming to him. He had not sowed anything to where he'd have to reap the pain and not just humiliation, but the bitter suffering that he dealt with. But yet I've sowed that and you've sowed that, and yet he took our harvest day for us. He reaped that on the cross of Calvary. His body was broken. His body went through all that it went through and that you can read about in the Scripture. So now, as we think about what Christ did in his body for sin, let's make sure here on this New Year's Day not to bring the things that we're aware of with us into this new year. Let's not bring it to this communion. Let's not bring it to this new month and this new week and this new year. God gives us the opportunity to turn from things, does he not? When they're revealed, he gives us his power through his Spirit, through his word, through the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do, when we're aware of things, we don't have to continue in them. We don't have to. We'll never be sinlessly perfect in our physical body, but that's not what we're talking about again. We're talking about the sins that God has made us aware of, his Spirit has convicted us of, his word has revealed and reflected. We've seen the reflection of the imperfections as we went to his word. We've seen it. Why bring those into 2014? If they were there in 2013, that's a good place for them to stay. Let's go into 2014 and let's trust God for a better year, a closer walk, a sweeter fellowship, a sweeter communion, all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a lot better advice than sprinkling gunpowder on your eggs every morning. I don't even know what gunpowder tastes like. I'll stay with the salt and pepper and the Frank's hot sauce over the gunpowder. Yet, God gives us the opportunity to purge out the leaven. He lets us go forward, and we get to observe something like this together collectively. And what a blessing it is to think of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has accomplished for us, and still accomplishing, because if we'll by faith follow him today and tomorrow and this year, then we'll see better things this year than we saw last year, personally, spiritually speaking. God has enabled us and allowed us to see those things. That's a little different for a communion, but since it's New Year's Day and we're doing a communion, I thought I'd point out those verses and those